We begin the current daf Masechtas Gittin daf Chaf Aleph. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a related discussion from the previous daf. That is, one of the halachas we mentioned regarding the execution of a get from the husband to the wife is, as the pasuk says, "Benasan b'yada." The husband has a requirement and obligation to give it to his wife, which has many halachic ramifications. One of them, as we mentioned in the previous daf, that he has to be giving her something, which is, if let's say he doesn't give her the paper, then, and he holds on to the rights of the paper, then he hasn't given her anything, that's not considered a giving. Additionally, inherent in that benasan is that he has to give it to her, and it can't be coming in a different way, in a roundabout way, that it's not him giving it to her. As the Gemara explains this, Amar Rava, Rava says the following novel chiddush. It says, cost of law get. If let's say the husband writes a get to his wife, and then he places the get in his slave's hand, where, as Mefarshim explained, the slave cannot function in the utility as a shliach, meaning although generally the husband could just give it to an agent, a shliach, and send it to the wife, here the eved cannot function in that way. But he wants the woman to be divorced through this channel, through this medium of sending with his eved. So what does he do? V'chasav lo shtar matana olav. And then what he does is he writes a different document, a document of a gift regarding the slave that is giving that to the woman. And he gives that document to the woman. So she receives that document, and she now, as the Gemara says, k'nasuhu, so because of that shtar matana, she acquires the eved as her own eved with that shtar matana. Now, additionally, she now acquires the get that's in her, now her slave's hand, which qualifies as her courtyard, because there's halacha that eved is like a chatzar, meaning what's her properties is considered part of her domain. And therefore, essentially, this is what qualifies as what's called Gita v'chatzerei boin ke'echad, when she acquires this courtyard, meaning the slave who functions as a courtyard, meaning he's part of her estate, and as we'll explain a little bit later, the husband could divorce the wife not only by putting in her hand, but anything that's an extension of her, like her hand, which includes her chatzer. Now the eved, it doesn't mean just her courtyard, it means her properties. The eved is her property now because the husband gave her the slave by giving her this gift, this document of gifting the slave to her. So when she acquires the slave, with that, she acquires the get that's inside his hand because it's like it's in her domain now. Umiskareshes boy. And therefore she gets divorced with this seemingly roundabout way, but it's not, because it's the husband that's giving her the get. How is he giving her the get? By giving her the slave, thus making the slave her chatzar, and thus now, in her chatzar, there is the get. Now the Gemara wonders on this halacha. But v'amai, why is this so that she's divorced, but chatzar mahalachasi, even if you're correct, that he's gifting her the slave, and now the slave has the get in his hand, now her chatzar has a get, and he could force her to be divorced by putting a get in her chatzar, so she's divorced. Problem is, the Gemara says, that even if a slave is like a courtyard, but he's a moving courtyard, he's not something that's stationary. Now the halacha is v'chatzar mahalachas leikanam. A moving courtyard does not acquire for a person, because although that, yes, the Chazal said this halacha, which we mentioned before, that chatzeri shel adam kainalai, that a person's courtyard could acquire for themselves, like their own hand would acquire, that wasn't said by a moving courtyard, because there's a difference between a piece of land which moves and a piece of land that doesn't move, because actually it's Rava himself who he's saying the halacha over here. He himself is the one that says in Bam Metzia, Perik Shnayim Echsen, Daf Tesma Beis, that a moving courtyard does not acquire. So how does Rava say that it's going to work through the function of giving her a chatzar, which now in the chatzar is the ged, but he doesn't function as a chatzar to create a kinyan, because he's a moving chatzar, he's a moving courtyard. So the Gemara says, now, v'chi teme bo'im, and if you're going to say, you're right, but it's talking about that when he's standing and he's not moving, so at that time when he's standing, he functions as a not-moving courtyard. But the Gemara said, but Va'amar Rava, but Rava himself said, kol she'ilu mahalich lo'ikano, if something that were it want to, it could move, it's mobile, then there's no kinyan. So if when it was moving, it wouldn't acquire. So even when it's standing and staying stationary, it also doesn't acquire. Say, but what does it help that he's standing? If he wanted to, he could move. Then it's a movable thing. Then even when it's standing, it doesn't acquire. So how is this halacha working from Rava, where he's functioning as a chatzar? So the Gemara concludes, v'helchas abakafas. The case that we're talking about over here is where the slave is tied up, where he's not fit to move. He couldn't move even if he wanted to. Then he functions as a chatzar that's not moving, and therefore the woman will be divorced by the husband gifting her this eved, where in his property, in his hand, is this get itself. Similar halacha, also from Vama Rabbi, says, Kasam lo get un nesana bechatzeref. Let's say he writes her a get, and he puts it into his own courtyard. Then, Kasam lo shtar matan alav. Then he writes for her a document gifting her that field. So, kenasahu, so then she acquires the field and whatever is in that field, which is the get, umiskereshes by, and she gets divorced that way. Now, the Gemara seemingly says that these are seemingly the same type of halacha. So, the Gemara says, Utricha, Rava had to teach us both halachas regarding the slave and regarding the field. Because the Iyashmin and Eved Hari only said the first case of the slave, Havamina Dafke Eved. I would have thought to say that this works only when it's being done with a slave. Why? Because Abul Chatzir, in contrast to a courtyard, Ligzir, there we should decree that it shouldn't work. Mishum Chatzir Habal Acher Mekan. Because of a case, which is very similar, of a courtyard that she acquires at a later point in time. For example, let's say the husband has a get to divorce his wife. He deposits that get in his friend's courtyard. Now, that friend who has that courtyard then subsequently sells that courtyard to his wife or gives it to her as a gift. Now, in that situation, for sure the woman is not considered divorced, because who's divorcing her? Meaning, because when the husband put the get in that courtyard, it wasn't her courtyard that she should acquire it as her chatzer, to be as if he put it in her hand. And when it ultimately does become her courtyard, she's not getting it from the husband as if to considering the giving of the courtyard as if she's getting the get, which what we said before was the principle of chatzer v'gita boin ke'echad. I mean, if he's giving the courtyard to her, and in that courtyard at that time is the get, so she's like receiving them at the same time, then that would be a valid gerushin. But regarding when he puts it in his friend's courtyard and his friend sells it to the wife, that is, he's never giving her any get, because when he put it in there, it wasn't hers. And when she gets it, it's not him giving it to her, it's our friend. So therefore, had we only said it regarding Eved, we would have thought by Chatzer, we shouldn't allow it to work this way that he's gifting her the field, because he might confuse it when he puts it in his friend's courtyard and his friend gets it to her. So that's why we have to say also the case of Chatzer. Now, the Yashmin Chatzer, had we only said the second case of Rava regarding the courtyard, Havamina Dafka Chatzer, we would have thought to say that maybe only there does it work. Because Aval Eved, however, regarding a slave, Ligzer Kafis, Atur She'enu Kafis, we should make a decree, we should be concerned if we allow this to work with the tied up slave, which is not then the Chatzer Mahaleches, and that he functions as a Chatzer, that people might confuse that and think that a slave can always work that way by being Makna Tahar the slave, even when he's not tied. Kamash Malan, that's where you have to say the case of the slave too, that both the slave and the field were not concerned for Gzera of mixing up with different cases, and he could go ahead and give her the get by gifting her the Yevet or gifting her the Chatzer with the get inside of them, and then there's Gita v'chatzera or Gita v'avda boin ke'echad, and that's how she gets divorced, not by him giving her the get directly, but indirectly, but still directly by gifting her the slave or the field. Now, on this halach of Rava, the Gemara asks Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Mechti, let's see. Chatzer mehecha is Rabbi. Where do we know that regarding the nasan beyada, where do we know that for the delivery of the get, which the husband has to do to the woman, that includes the woman's courtyard, not just in her hand? Says Abaye, miyada. We know this from her hand, because the Pasuk tells us in Devarim Chavdal, like we referenced before, it says, v'nasan beyada. He has to put the get in her hand. Now, when it says her hand, it actually refers to her whole property. And we know this, like it says in Bamidbar Chaf Aleph, Vayikach es kol artza miyada, that he took his entire land from his hand. It doesn't mean from his hand, he didn't have his whole land in his hand. It means from his estate, from his property. So that's how we know that by placing the get in her courtyard, it works just like placing it in her hands. So asks Abaya, if that's the case, ma yada di isa, just like regarding the woman's hand, which that it's applicable regarding divorce, that the husband can divorce the woman, whether with her consent or forcibly. So therefore, so then also regarding the courtyard, also has to be the same characteristic as the hand, because that's where it's learned out from. The isa beimidaito beimbalkarcha, that should also have to function, whether with her consent, or whether even without her consent, even forcibly. For example, what would be a case of balkarcha? If, for example, let's say this was always her courtyard, even before the get was put in there, then he could forcibly put the get in her courtyard, and then he divorces her. Now, that asks Abaye, but Vamatana, but this case of Rava, where the courtyard is being gifted to her, where Midaita Isa, that receipt of that get, through placing it in her courtyard, which wasn't actually her courtyard, when he put it in, it was his courtyard. But the way she's getting divorced with this get, with this courtyard, is only with her consent, but Balkarcha Lesa, it's not a case that would be applicable forcibly, because if she says, no, I don't want that gift that you're giving to me, then she wouldn't acquire that courtyard, and she would not be divorced with that get in that courtyard, because she says, I don't want to acquire that chatzer. So therefore, ask Sabaya, even if she consents to it, how does it work? The chatzer can't work in the case where it only would work with her consent, because it has to be like Yad, which could work either way. Here, this courtyard can't work either way. It only works if she wants it, not if she doesn't want it. So how does Rava say that she'll be able to be divorced through the principle of chatzer when it's lacking the element of Balkarcha? So in that maskevel of Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Rav Simi Bar Ashi asked on Abaye's point, he says, what do you mean? V'hashlichas l'kabbalah. Up until now, basically, in this mesechta, we were always describing a shlich l'haylacha, which is a messenger sent by the husband to divorce the wife. That is only she gets divorced when she receives the get. However, there is an element called shliach likabala, which is an agent to receive, which is the woman appoints a shliach to receive it from the husband or from the husband's agents. Where it says, Rav Simi Bar Ashi, the medaita isa makar chalasa, where shliach likabala, to receive the get, obviously only works with the woman's consent and not forcibly, because the husband cannot forcibly create a shliach to receive the get for the woman, because that's considered a chayv, a liability for her. The only thing the husband could do is make a shliach l'halacha to deliver it, and then those deliverers, those agents could deliver it and forcibly divorce her. But a shliach l'kabbalah, no one could create forcibly against her will. She has to consent to agents to receive it, to be divorced when they get it. And yet, we know b'kohav shliach l'kabbalah. We know, as the Gemara tells us later on, the Afsamach Beis Mabeis, that her agents that she appoints to be a shliach to receive could receive, and she gets divorced that way, where we learn that out from Vishilach Vishilcha, where, although it says with a mapik hay, but we read it as if it didn't have a mapik hay, which sounds like Vishilcha that she sends. So we know that not only could he send, but she could also send, meaning a shlich to receive. But according to you, Abaye, you said to have receipt of a get, not just in our hand, has to be that it could work both with consent and without consent. Yet we know shlich likabala only works with her consent. So what's your question that you're asking on the point of Rava, as if it shouldn't work? What are you talking about? We see from shlich likabala that it doesn't have to work with the principle of working balkarcha. Now that, the Gemara says, Vabaya, he would respond to Ratzim Barashi, what do you mean? Atu shlichis? Do you think shlichis, in contrast to chatzer, miyad de israbi? Regarding an agent, that's not learned out from the halachas of hand. Meaning my question was based on the principle that where do you know chatzer from? From the principle of yada, where we learn that from Psukim that it says the word yad, it doesn't mean just her hand literally, it means her whole estate. So therefore I said, if you have to, then chatzer has to be like yad, which just like yad could work balkarcha, so to chatzer has to, and the case of Rava won't work balkarcha. But the question you're asking me from an agent's halacha of, let's say, receipt, is not learned out from yad. Mevashilach v'shilcha is rabbi. It's learned out from the fact that it says instead of v'shilach, it says v'shilcha, which, yeah, with a mapeke would mean to say that he's sending it to her, but we read it as if there's no mapeke, which you read v'shilcha that she sends. That's where we learn it out, and therefore that doesn't have to be that it could work even against her will. We don't see that anywhere, but it says that she makes a shliach, which seemingly that she agrees to it. And therefore Abai says, it's not a response to me. Definitely my point is still valid against Rava, because shlichus works differently than chatzah, but chatzah itself should have to be able to be working in a way of bakarcha. Or if you want, you could say a different response to Rav Simi Bar Ashi's question, Abaya, and that is actually shlichus l'kabbala, nami ashkecham bakarcha. Actually, you could find a case of an agent to receive that could work against her will, even without her consent, that upon the receipt of that agent receiving the get from the husband or his shluchim, she gets divorced automatically. How so? Shekeinav. You find this by a father who's mekabel get lebitoy ketana. He could receive the get of his daughter that's a minor. Whereas the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Alef, from the Yatzav Ahaisa, we learn that the father, not only could he get her engaged, he could also get a divorce by receiving the get from her husband, which that obviously works. Balkarcha, it works even against the will of the girl. And therefore, again, it's not difficult, according to Abaya, that he says it won't help in the case of Rava's cases, which the Chatzar only works Midaita, because again, Abaya says it has to be able to work Balkarcha. But although you're asking me from Shlich LeKabbalah actually could work in the case of Balkarcha, which Tosfos points out. What do you mean? By Chatzar also, there's cases that it could work Balkarcha, which as the Gemara pointed out, as we mentioned before, which is that if let's say she owned the field beforehand, it's only Rava's case that it doesn't work Balkarcha. So what's essentially the difference between the father receiving it Balkarcha, but again, that's only when she's a minor. When she's an adult, her Shlich LeKabbalah has to be with her consent. So why is that any different than the case of Rava, where of course there are Chatzeres that work Balkarcha, when she owns the Chatz already, he could just throw it in there. It's just that Rava's case is talking about that there has to be with her consent. So why is that different than Shlich LeKabbalah, where there obviously are also cases that it has to be with her consent, and yet the Ibay Seimer is saying that there's a difference between Shlichas, which works in cases, let's say when she's a minor, Balkarcha, and contrast to Chatzah. So that Tosfos explains because it's a higher level of the Shlichas of the father. Why? Because at least by the case of the field, although there are cases that the husband can forcibly divorce her by putting into her chatzah, which she owns already, but you could say that she could be mafka the field, she could declare it ownerless, and therefore she won't get divorced even by her field. So there is a way to avoid ever being divorced forcibly by her chatzah. So although, yeah, technically there are cases, but technically also she could avoid it because she could say, I'm declaring my field ownerless. In contrast to the Shlich LeKabbalah of her father, where it's impossible for her to get away with that, where there is an element of she will be, even without her consent, without her desire to be divorced by her father's receipt of the get, and therefore, that's what the second Teretz in the Gemara is saying, that in contrast, although by Shlich LeKabbalah, it helps as if there is an element of Balkarcha, because there is like one solid case where Balkarcha, she's going to get divorced, even by Shlich LeKabbalah, in contrast to the case of Rava, where how are you saying that it's working over here by Chatzar, especially since this case is that it's only with her consent that she receives the Chatzar, because actually, as Tosfos says, even other cases of Chatzar, hypothetically, she can't be divorced Balkarcha, because she could declare her fields ownerless, and then they won't be able to force her by putting in her Chatzeres. In contrast to Shlich LeKabbalah, there's one iron case of for sure the element of Balkarcha, just like Yad, works by Shlich LeKabbalah, that she could be divorced without her consent. So again, that's where the Gemara ends, where Rav Simba Asher did not refute Abaye's contention with Rabbi's Halacha, where he said that it shouldn't work as for the woman to be divorced because the Chatzar only works in this case of Rava, Midaita, and yet it's learned from Yad, which should require that she could also be divorced, Balkarcha, and not just with her consent. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, that we said you could write a get on anything, and that's even ala ola shel zayis, even on the leaf of an olive, or you could write on the horn of a cow, and then you give the cow to the woman, and so too with, you could write on the hand of a slave, and then you give the slave to the woman. So the Gemara wonders. Bishlam yad de'eved, we understand in the case of when you're writing the get on the hand of the slave, as we continue on Tamad Beis, that loy efshe limiktsaye, it's not possible to cut his hand off. Because an Eved is someone that fulfills all the mitzvahs like a woman, and you're not allowed to harm him, you're not allowed to cut his hand off. Actually, if you cut his hand off, he actually goes out free, which is in any one of his rashi avarim, the tip of any limb, if that gets harmed intentionally by the mass, he goes out free. So obviously, that you're not allowed to harm him. So we understand why in that case, if you're writing it on his hand, the only way to divorce her is by giving her the whole slave. But Ella, rather, the Gemara asks, but Karen Shalpar, but the horn of a cow, Liktsayi Velesvela. Why does the Mishnah say that, okay, then he has to give her the whole cow? Why can't he just cut off the horn then and give her the horn? Why does he have to give her his whole cow? So now the Gemara says, Amar Krok, as the Pasuk says in Devarim, the Chasab, it says that he writes it, and then it says, V'nasanlan, he gives it to her, which tells us, get only works if the only elements that it's lacking is the writing and then the giving. That would exclude such a case like we're describing, where there would be another element lacking. You would have to write, then detach, and then give it. That doesn't work. You can't have a ketzitza in the middle, and that's why if you want to give her the get that was written on the horn of the cow, you can't break it off and give her. You have to then give her the whole cow. Now, however, regarding this halacha of our Mishnah, writing on the slave's hand or writing on the on these different things, Rabbi Yisrael Glili Omer, he argues. He says, no, you're not allowed to write a get on anything. You can't write it on the Ruach Chaim, something that has a living spirit, and neither can you write on something that's a food item. So he disagrees on those two cases. So the Gemara asks, my time to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, what's the reason Rabbi Yisrael Glili? Where does he see that these things should be excluded from being a valid get? So the time, like, learn the Braisa. The Torah says that he writes a Sefer Krisis. Now, usually Sefer is Ein Li'ela Sefer. I would only know that you could write a Sefer, which sounds like parchment, scroll. So that says the Braisa, Minayin L'Rab is called Abba. How do you know that's not just a parchment you could write a get? You could write on anything. Tam Aleima, so that's what we learn from the Pasuk, where it says V'chasavla, that he writes for her a Sefer Krisis, which tells you he writes for her Mikal Malkim, from whatever it is, as Rashi explains, because it could have said the Nasan Sefer Krisis Biyada, that he should put a book of separation in her hand. It doesn't say that. It says V'chasavla Sefer Krisis Ve Menasan Biyada, which tells us V'chasavla, whatever that you write, that's valid. No. Then the question is, Sefer, then what does the Pasuk tell us when it says Sefer, which sounds like it's trying to tell us it has to be a scroll, when if you're telling me B'chasavla includes anything you could write on, not just the parchment? So that the Bryce explains, because it's Mas Sefer, it's coming to compare on some level to a scroll, where just like by a parchment, Dabar Shein by Ruach Haim, it's something that's not a living thing itself. Ve'ein O'ichel, it's also not an edible item. I'll call Dabar Shein by Ruach Haim, Ve'ein O'ichel, so to anything that's not a living thing, and it's not an edible item. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yisi, like we see in this, Rabbi Segli, like we see in this Braisa, where, yes, you can write on anything, but it has to be similar to Sefer, which excludes a living thing or a food item. Now, but Rabbanan, they would respond. They say, no, everything is kosher, even a slave's hand, even a horn, even a leaf of an olive. They say, they respond to the explanation of the Pesukim according to Rabbi Yisi Segli. They say, look, Iksiv b'Sefer, had the Pasuk said that V'chasavla b'Sefer Krisis, that would have sounded like you're saying that it should be written in a scroll. And then you could have said, like you say, that, oh, so when the Torah then says V'chasavla, it's coming to include anything, so then why does it say b'Sefer? To say that, but it should be similar to a scroll, which is, again, excluding a living thing or an edible item. Then it would be k'dikamer, like you said. But say the Rabbanon, hashadichsiv Sefer, now that it doesn't say b'Sefer in a scroll, it rather says the word Sefer. Oh, so that's only l'sfiras dvarm huda'asa. In other words, it's almost, so to speak, reading when it says v'chasav Sefer Krisis. The word Sefer doesn't mean book. It means from the word of sipur, of a narrative, which is like, as Rashi says, v'chasav sviras divrei krisis, like as if the Torah is writing you, that you write a narrative of divorce. However, say the Rabbanan, but you can write it on whatever you want to write it, because there's no word Sefer over here, meaning b'Sefer, which would tell you in the scroll, to tell you has to be similar to a scroll. Rather, the word Sefer is translated as, because or else it was a Sefer, it should have said b'Sefer, you write it in the Sefer, it says v'chasav Sefer, it's like it's saying, and you write the narrative of krisis. Now, however, then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, Hai v'chasav my avdilei, then what do they do with the word v'chasav, which again, as we pointed out before, didn't have to say writing, that we said that according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, the word v'chasav comes to say, okay, not just parchment, but anything that's like it. L'Rab is called davar, that's what it says that you write. Now, the problem is, according to Rabbanan, with the Torah, according to them, is not telling you what you have to write it on, because you actually know from the Nasan Sefer Krisis, which that just tells you you can write whatever you want, because they don't have the exclusion of b'Sefer. So what are they including from the word v'chasav? So the Gemara says, Mibayluhu, they need that to tell you, and it says v'chasav la Sefer Krisis, that he writes for her a Sefer Krisis, to tell you b'chsiva miskareshes. She could only be divorced through writing, but v'ein miskareshes b'kesev, the woman cannot be divorced with money. In other words, let's say he would tell her, look, here, take this coin and be divorced with it. That's what the Pasuk is telling you, that no, you can't be divorced with money, you can only be divorced with writing. Now, why do you need a Pasuk to exclude that? Because I would have thought to say, Akesh Yitzia Lahavaya, you should compare when she gets divorced, when she leaves, to how she came in, how she got married, because the Pasuk actually equates the two. It says, V'yatzav ha'isa li'ish achar. When the Torah talks about divorcing a woman, it says that she leaves this husband and she goes to another man. Now, Bahisa means Kedushin, Havaya, because she makes herself to her husband through Kedushin. So, since there's a comparison, and there are halachas that I learned out from the comparison of Kedushin to Gerushin, we would have thought to say, Mahavaya Bekesef, just like Kedushin works with money, that's one of the three ways you could be Mekadosh a woman, Afyetziya Nami Bekesef, so we would think to say, so to divorce could be with money. Kamash Malan, that's why the Torah tells you, B'chasav la, that, oh, not like Rabbi Yitzchak Levi says that B'chasav comes to include all things you could write on. No, because you could anyways write on everything. It doesn't say it has to be on the parchment. Rather, what it's including is she could only be divorced through writing, not through money. Now, whereas Ve'idach, Rabbi Yitzchak Glili, Nafkele, where does he know this halacha from? Not from B'chasav, because he learns it from B'chasav that you could write on anything. He learns it out from Misefer Krisis. Because the Torah says that he writes for her Sefer Krisis. From the fact that it has the word Krisis, separation, next to the word Sefer, that tells us Sefer Karsa Ve'in Dava Acha Karsa. Only a scroll, meaning this document of the get, could separate them, but anything else, meaning like money, cannot be used to separate them. Whereas Ve'idach, the Rabbanon, Mi'boyalei, what do they need? What do they use this Sefer Krisis, the Smichus, the proximity of the separation to the word Sefer? They don't use it like Rishak Lili to tell you that she's divorced only with a writing and not with money, because they know that from V'chasav La. They learn that from there, Dava HaKoyris Beinoy L'Beina, which means to say that the separation has to be something that actually, the Sefer has to be Krisis. It has to be something that, even if, let's say, there are conditions in the get, there can only be conditions of separation. The entire scroll, entire get, has to be total separation and nothing that binds them together. What does that mean? Could the time, like, learn the Braisa? If, let's say, the husband tells the wife, Hareza Gitech, this is your get, Al Menas Shle Tishle Yayin, on the condition that you don't drink wine anymore. Or, Al Menas Shle Techele Beis Avich Loilam, I don't want you ever going to your father's house ever again. That's the condition I make for the get. Says the Braisa, Ein Zekrisis, that's not a separation of a get, because her entire life, for the rest of her life, she's still bound to her husband through the contingencies that he put into the get. Now, whereas at Shleishim Yom, if the condition was only for 30 days, then Harezi Krisis, that is a separation, because it's not forever, so it's not binding them together. That would be a valid get. That's what the Rabbanon learned now from Sefer Krisis. The Sefer has to be totally a Krisis. If there are any conditions that bind them together, that's not a valid get. Whereas Ve'idach Rabbi Yitzchak Glili, Mikar is Krisis. He learns this out, that it could have said V'chasav La Sefer Kares. Instead it says V'chasav La Sefer Krisus. Why does it say that pluralism? To come to include this other halacha. Besides the concept that he mentioned before, from the Sefer Krisis, which tells you that the Sefer has to divorce and not anything else, I mean to exclude money, you also could learn now from the extra Krisis instead of Kares, to learn that this halacha, that it has to be totally separating, even in the conditions, and not anything that binds them together. As for Idach, but however the Rabbanan, Karis Krisis Leidarshi, they don't expound that seemingly superfluosity of saying Krisus instead of Karis. That's again stylistic, and therefore they wouldn't learn anything out from that, and therefore that's how we understand both opinions, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yisihak Lili. But again, that's the source for Rabbi Yisihak Lili, why he argues on the Chacham in our Mishnah, that he excludes something, a get to be written on a living thing, or something that's edible, because although we're including everything, B'chasav La, but it has to be comparable to Sefer, which, just like a scroll, is not a living thing, or something that's edible, because it's parchment, so to anything that gets being written on, to exclude, let's say, like the hand of a slave. So the Gemara continued with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about writing on something that's attached and you can't detach. So the Mishnah says, "En kaisvin b'mechub l'karka." You're not allowed to write a get on something that's attached to the ground. And the reason being, as we mentioned before, that's why we said that you have to give the entire para to the woman. Because the pasuk says, v'chasav and v'nasan, meaning to say you cannot be lacking also cutting off. It has to be just the writing and the giving. But if you wrote on something that's attached to the ground, you can't give her the ground. You would have to take it out. That would be lacking ketzitza. That wouldn't be valid. However, says the Mishnah, kasavai b'mechubar, let's say he does write on this get, which is attached to the ground. And then talshai, then he detaches it. Then v'chasmai. So after they wrote the text of the document and they detached it, then the witnesses signed on it. V'nasnula, and then they give it to her. Says the Tana of the Mishnah, kasher, it's going to be kasher, which the Gemara is going to ask. That seemingly, that just contradicts what we just said before. We just said you cannot write it when it's attached to the ground. Then the Mishnah says, if you did write it when it's attached to the ground, and then you detach it, and you sign it, and you give it, it's going to be kasher. Seemingly that contradicts right there in the first sentence. Now, Rabbi Huda paisel, however, Rabbi Huda says, it's always going to be pasul. it always has to be detached, not just the signing, but also the writing. So if it was written, then detached, it's going to be invalid. It has to be detached from the beginning, from the writing and the signing. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seirai, he says, a different halacha, he says also regarding what you can write the get on, says, in case when you cannot write the get, loy al nyar machuk, not on paper that was erased on already before you wrote the get, and v'loy al difter, not on difter, which the Gemara is going to explain what exactly difter is, because regarding these two cases, there could be forgery with this get. Now, by an erased paper, that's pretty obvious, because since subsequently they could go ahead and just erase the everything up until where the witness is signed, and then the woman could write whatever she wants to. So let's say there were certain conditions written in the get, and she could just erase those conditions, and nothing would be inherent that she did that, because even the witnesses themselves signed on already an erased document, so therefore it's open for forgery, therefore you can't write a get on a erased paper coming in. So to diftera, it's when you erase on it, it's not recognizable that it was erased, so therefore those two cases, those papers cannot be used to write on, because they're open for forgery. But v'chacham makshir, chacham say it's kosher, it's a good get, and the Gemara is going to explain what's the reasoning of the opinion of the chacham. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to the question right off the bat, the Mishnah says, Ksave al mechuber. If the get was written on something that's attached, then it was detached and then signed and then given to her, it's kosher. Now the Gemara asks, but Va'amid Reshi said in the line right before that, Ein Kaisvin, you're not allowed to write a get on something that's attached to the ground. How can then you say that it's kosher? So Amar Behuda Meshmul, he says, the Sefer that says that it's kosher is talking about Vahu Sheshayir Mokam HaTayef. Although it says that it was written when it was attached, not the whole get was written when it was attached. The typhus, which is the generic text that every get says, that was written when it was attached. But the tarif, which the word tarif means revealed, which is the revealed part of the document, meaning to say it's the pertinent information regarding specifically to this man and this woman, because the tarif is the part that says his name, her name, the date, his city, her city, that was written after it was detached. And v'cheinam Reb Elazar Amar Reb Oshia, we're talking about v'hu sheshayir mokam ha'tayef. The next line in the Mishnah that says it's kasher is talking about not everything was written, because you actually left over the part of the tayef. And v'cheinam Reb Abba Bechana Amar Reb Yechanan, v'hu sheshayir mokam ha'tayef. That part was left over. Now what's the relevance of that? Because our Mishnah is going Reb Elazar here. Our Mishnah is going like Reb Elazar. In other words, the Mishnah that requires that when it's written, as we see in the first line of the Mishnah, you can't write it when it's attached to the ground, meaning it has to be detached when it's written, that's like Reb Elazar. Because he expounds, when it says in the Pasuk, V'chasav la sefer krisis, what are we talking about has to be written for her? That's the writing of the text of the get, not the signing of the witnesses that's also written in the get, because it's going like Reb Elazar. The Amar Edim Esira Karati, he holds that the witnesses that create the halachic get, the execution of the get, are the witnesses that witness the giving over of the get, not the writing of the get, though giving over the get from the husband to the wife. Therefore, Reb Elazar's opinion is that actually the signing of the get in the get itself is not biblical. It's rather, as the Gemara says elsewhere, because what's going to happen if the Eidei Mesira die, and there's not going to be any way of proving because there's nothing in writing, so therefore we have Eidei Chasima. So therefore, when the Torah says b'chasav la, it obviously cannot be referring to the writing of the signatures of the witnesses, because that's not in the biblical halacha. It must be talking about the writing of the text of the get itself. Now b'hachikam, and therefore this is what the Mishnah was saying. Ein kaisman taifas. The Mishnah opens up by saying, look, you're not allowed to write the generic text of every get for this woman when it's attached to the ground, shema yichtav tayrif, because maybe, and that's the main concern, you might write the tayrif, which is the primary part that says b'chasav la, which is for her, is the part that mentions his name, her name. Now, however, says the Mishnah, which is the next line of the Mishnah, kasavu l'tayfas, but let's say he wrote the generic part of the text of the get, when it was still attached, and then b'tolshay, and then it was detached. But then kasavu l'tayrif v'nasna la, then they wrote the primary text of the get, which is specific for this man and this woman, and then they gave it to her, then it's going to be kosher. Because when it says v'chasav la sefer krisis, it's referring specifically to the tayrif. So although the Mishnah says, yes, you cannot write when it's attached, that was a gezeira, that you can't write even the typhus because of the tayrif, But then the Mishnah then says, if you wrote the typhus when it's attached, but if you detached it before the tariff, then it's going to be valid because the main v'chasav you had when it was ready to attach. That's one approach. For Shlakasham, he says a different approach. He says, what do you mean? Look at the words of the Sefer, the Mishnah. It says that if it was written when it was attached, then it was detached, and then chasmai v'nosnula. Then it was signed and given to her that it's going to be kosher, which it sounds like from the reading of the Mishnah, that even if the entirety of the get, not just the typhus, but even the tariff was written when it was attached, it's still going to be kosher. Now that's not like how the previous Mayrom had explained the Mishnah going like Herbalazah, that was left over part of the writing that of the tariff. So therefore explains Rish Lakish that no, actually, when it says v'chasav la in the Torah, it actually is referring to the signature of the witnesses which is written into the get, which that is the primary part of the get, because Reb Meir, he, the Tana of Mishnah is like Reb Meir de Amar Edi Chassimikarati. He disputes Reb Elazar, and he holds what creates the creases, what's the severance, which witnesses create the get, not the Edi Mesira, but the witnesses that are signed in the document itself. And therefore, there's what the Mishnah is saying. In Kaisman Tairif, the Mishnah opens up by saying you cannot write when it's attached to the ground. Not just can you not write the typhus, you're not allowed to write the Tairif. Now, but that's not biblical. That's a gezeirah shemeyachtim. You can't write the tariff of the get when it's attached to the ground because you might come to sign it when it's still attached to the ground. Now, however, that's what the Mishnah continues and says, kesavu l'tariff. But if you wrote the tariff, you wrote the entire text of the get when it's attached to the ground, and then talshe, but then you ripped it off, and then chasme, and then you signed it after it was already detached, and v'nasna, and then you gave it to her, then it's going to be kasher again because we're going like Reb Meir, who holds that the v'chasavla that it says in the Torah, not like Reb Elazar, that that's a reference to the writing of the text of the get, rather it's going in reference to the what makes the get, which is the signatures of the witnesses in the document itself, and that was done when it was already detached, so you actually have a chasav, which is a chasimus edim, without any talish and ketzitza in between with that and the nesina. That's why it's going to be kasher, that's going like Reb Meir. So that's the machlekes, is it Reb Elazar or is it like Reb Meir? Which each one is going one level higher regarding what was the gezeir drabanan. Is it like Reb Elazar that we're talking about the tariff has to be written in talish, but we make a gezeir and so that toughest, the typhus we also don't allow? Or is it like Reb Meir that, no, we have no concern about that, but the chasima has to be by talish, so because of that we make a gezeir on the tariff, but again, if you did that after the fact, it's going to be kasher. Now continuing on this theme about writing on something that's attached to the ground, the Gemara tells us, Kesave al cheresh al otzis nakav. If someone writes on an earthenware pot that's perforated, which the relevance of the fact that's perforated will be relevant to the next case, so then it's going to be kosher. If you write a get on the earthenware pot, it's going to be kosher. And the reason being is because the shakale, he takes the entire earthenware pot, the yavle nahala, and he gives her the entire pot. Now, the chiddush in that is that there's nothing lacking in between here of breaking off. Because as Rashi explains, we're not concerned that if he wrote the get on this earthenware pot, that he's going to break off a shard, a piece of that earthenware, and give her that piece. Because if that would be the case, then that would be invalid, because you would have the ksiva, then the katsitsa breaking off, and then the nesina, because there's no reason to assume that he's going to break his earthenware pot. Where actually, as Taisus says in Devei Maskel Yatza, that's the same reason why we mentioned in the previous Mishnah about Karen Shalpara, where there's no concern of that, wait a second, how could you write in the Karen Shalpara? You might, maybe you're going to break it off, and then you'll give it to her. So we shouldn't allow it because you might have ksiva, ketzitz, and then the nesina, because again, there's no reason, it's not normative to break off the horn of a cow, and therefore we allow to write it on the horn of a cow, but then you have to give the whole cow, and we're not concerned that you're going to break it off. In the meantime, that's the same halacha that we're saying over here with the atzitz nakev. Now, however, al-ola shal atzitz nakev, but let's say you write it not on the earthenware pot itself that's perforated, but rather you write on a leaf that's growing in that perforated pot, that's machlokes. Abaye Amar Kasher, Rav Amar Pasul. Why? Abaye Amar Kasher, he says that it's Kasher, as we continue on top of Chav Bezim and Aleph, because the Shakalei, because he takes, as in the previous case, the entire perforated pot, for Yovla Nala, and he gives her the whole plant with the pot, so there's you wrote it, and you give it, there's nothing lacking in between. Rav Amar Pasul, but Rav says, Pasul, why? Gezer Hashem Yikta. This is different than the earthenware pot or a horn of an animal where it's not gently broken off. Here we have to be concerned that he might tear off the leaf and then give her that, because why should he give her the whole plant? Now that's going to be a problem, because that's detaching from something that's attached. You can have kasiva, Ketzitza and the Nesina, that's invalid because you can't have anything interposing between the Ksiva and the Nesina. So Rava says it's going to be puzzle. That's why it's relevant, the fact that it's perforated, because a perforated plant is considered as if it's attached to the ground because all its nourishment is coming from the ground because it's perforated, there's a hole and it's getting its nourishment. So it's considered attached. When you tear off the leaf, it's like you tore it off from something that's attached to the ground. That's why Rava disagrees with Abai, and he says in that case it's going to be puzzle because of that concern of that he might rip it off and then give it to her.